on what we call employment-related supports. And for people with disabilities, like everyone else in the world, they need certain supports to be able to get to work and to maintain employment. So you all got here today, so some people with disabilities need extra help related to transportation. Some people with disabilities need someone to help them get up in the morning and help them bathe and get dressed. So they may need assistance with technology and usually need assistance with health care. So if you don't have all of these cards in place, that you would not be able to maintain employment, and that's especially true for people with disabilities. So my job is to work with all of the other federal agencies that provide the supports that we need every day, transportation, housing, health care, et cetera, to try to get them to change a little bit of what they do to be more cognizant of the employment-related needs of people with disabilities. And so when it comes to disclosures, I'm a Fed. I have no financial disclosure. I have no finances to disclose. But the one disclosure I will make is that I'm not really one of you. I mean, this is a very diverse panel, and I've learned a lot today, but I don't understand most of what you're saying. Because what we do is we provide the tools to make a lot of this happen. So as you go through this, and hopefully it makes sense to you, think about, you know, Susan's previous presentation, and she has this, you know, national study on obesity, et cetera, and all these really great recommendations and this great amount of data. And so our job is then to think about how do you then take that next step in policy development? How do you actually make it actionable? And what we're going to talk about today is sort of a new way of doing that. It's in many, many ways we do the same thing over and over again. Our agency, which does policy, can go back to the 1960s and you'll see the same sort of strategies. You know, you fund research, the first year is planning, the second, third, fourth year is implementation, the fifth year is evaluation, et cetera. Life doesn't work that way anymore. We've got these new Web 2.0 tools, we've got this new sort of attitude that it has to be done now. If my dinner takes more than 7 minutes microwavable, I get upset. So it works that way with policy as well. So let me go through quickly and show you what we're doing. We developed a new tool called ePolicyWorks, which is, again, taking advantage of Web 2.0 availability. And one of the subcomponents of it is ePolicyWorks Healthcare, and I'll explain what we've been doing there. Very quickly, you have to understand what we mean by public engagement. President Obama, on his first day of office, released a memorandum on open government, and it sounds great. It talks about you have to make your stuff more accessible to the general public. You have to collaborate with entities, both on the private sector and the public sector, et cetera. And most agencies have tried to really take this seriously. But what they do is they make their stuff more accessible, more transparent. It's easier to get to, et cetera. But they have an opportunity for some open input. So if you're a citizen and you want to, you know, affect what HRSA might be doing, then you can sort of provide some comments, that type of thing, too. But that's pretty much as far as we've gone as the federal government. But when you think about the public, you know, you can think about everybody in the United States, but that's 310 million Americans. 310. So, really? Are you going to then get input from 310 million Americans? We live in a representative sort of government. We have a Congress that represents us. We have 535 representatives. And they can't get along, and they can't be coherent, and they can't make policy advance without a great deal of difficulty. How would you expect that out of 310 million Americans? So when it comes to policy development, you're not talking that. You may be talking constituencies, but if you talk about, for Social Security Administration, just looking at the SSI recipients, that's 38.5 million people. You can't really have a conversation with 38.5 million people. We just got back from a family reunion in Williamsburg with 22 of my relatives, and we couldn't have a conversation. We had 24 people talking at the same time with 24 different schedules and 24 different preferences. It was chaos, and so you cannot expect to have a conversation with 38.5 million people. So what we're doing is trying to skip the middleman, or actually focus on the middleman, and say our stakeholder groups, our stakeholder associations are really our peeps. That's who we're trying to influence. Let's do it on a representational level. So if we're the federal government, I'm going to talk about can work locally, it can work at the state level as well, and we've actually helped entities do that. But we're the federal level, so we're going to look at those 200 to 300 national players, those national NGOs or the federal agency representatives, because those are who really make policy. If you have a Federal Register notice that goes out, you may get 1,000 comments, but really only 50 of them are actionable. And those 50, I could bet you, are going to be related to those same groups, ASHTO, et cetera, that you already deal with. And so to be more effective, we're, in essence, skipping right down to those stakeholders. All right, what does open government mean? Again, information sharing versus policy development. Information sharing is what all the other federal agencies, for the most part, are doing, is that they're just making their stuff more accessible. You could literally find a report if you want to. It's not, you get a little bit of an idea of how the sausage is made, but you're not really involved in the sausage making. Policy development, however, it has to be meaningful input, and you have to provide opportunities for true stakeholder involvement. All right, BORPSAT, this is not a foreign language. This is what we've found works well, and when you think about policy development, is really you get the right people. BORPSAT means is a bunch of the right people sitting around the table. That's how we affect policy. Now we're trying to take a look at, can we do that virtually? Because we get the same group of people and maybe expand the group of people and get better input, faster input, more inclusive input if we use these new tools. Okay, and the virtual table then is, it's much larger. We can, instead of having 8 or 9 people in the room having a discussion, we could have 90 people relatively simply having a discussion. You're not dependent upon logistics. You can jump in anytime, day or night, unless it's a real-time meeting, which we can also do. It gives you an opportunity to provide input on your schedule. More accessible for people with physical disabilities, cognitive disabilities, et cetera. The new Web 2.0 tools are more accessible. You don't have to have an accessible conference room and that type of thing. Again, available all day. This new approach, again, we're trying to empower national experts to shape policy, and it really does serve as a model, and I'll go into some of that detail in a little bit. Okay. E-policy works. It's limited online access. We use SharePoint. You have to get into e-policy works, whether it's e-policy works transportation or e-policy works healthcare, you have to have a license. And so the federal government provides that license to you for free. We have certain restrictions. You can be an NGO, you can be a Fed, you cannot be a private sector, at least on the sales side individual. You can't be a private consultant. But the understanding is they don't want sort of people involved who have access to sort of privileged information or are trolling for business. There are limits to that. But even that seems to be expanding as we move on. At one time, you could not include any private sector companies at all. Now, if you're not involved in the sales side, but you're involved on the HR side, for instance, then you can be involved. Okay. Online secure work groups, and this is important to a lot of our partners. If it wasn't secure, they wouldn't be participating. Okay. All right. The features that we have on ePolicyWorks Healthcare are the same features that you would need as a policy development person at your office. And so what we try to do is provide, in essence, a virtual office. Everything that you would need in order to be able to get through your day as a policy developer are included here. So if you get up and you read the newspapers every day, you go through the Times and you go through the Post and you find out what healthcare-related articles are coming up. What is new with various like the CLASS Act sort of thing. What is the most recent information on it? We provide RSS feeds, so that information is collected for you automatically from the top 300 or so newspapers, and so you don't have to do anything. It's provided for you as a service. If you need to check to see what legislation is currently pending and what is the status and what is the most recent news, we've got a legislative corner that you can go to where that information is provided for you. Not only provided for you, but you have the opportunity to add to it if you want. If there's a particular piece of legislation that's not there that you feel is also warranted and you want to share with your coworkers and the other people in ePolicyWorks Healthcare, then you can post those as well. You want to know what conferences like this conference today, are coming up, there's a calendar that provides that information for you. So what we try to do is to make that as easy as possible for a person to be involved. If you want to have schedule a real-time meeting and include some teleworkers from your office, they could be involved as well. So instead of teleworkers just listening in like eavesdroppers, which is usually the case, they can see the same information on the screen that you're seeing right now. if you pull up a document, start editing a document, they could see that as well. So it's much more inclusive of workers today, which again don't necessarily are limited to people who are sitting at their desk and have availability to come to whatever meetings you are putting together. All right, ePolicy Works discussion format again. This is a conference room, and this can be either real time. You can have a real time conference with discussion going back and forth, or it can be something that people like, sort of Facebook, where they can add comments later, and then people can comment upon their comment, that type of thing as well. So it's an online discussion. And one other value to this is that it's recorded, that you have it to keep, so you can see the progress that you've made in the particular area that you're working in. Resource library, just like you would have at work, you can then post whatever document you want. You can pull down the document, etc. It's a virtual library that does not go away. Oh, and versioning again, for especially related to the health group that I'm going to mention, who are working in ePolicy Works, this is a very critical tool. So instead of having separate email strands of conversation in which you have the same document being edited by four or five people at one time, with versioning control, you could literally get the document, pull it out, work on it, and put it back. And while you've pulled it out, no one else can work on that document. You can check it out, check it back in, that type of thing, too. So for a policymaker, at least at the federal level, and I'm sure at the state and local level, that's a very critical tool. And I'll show you how it's been used. Again, legislative corner, we have a number of things in this. We've got posted legislation. There are legislative analyses. We have a newsletter that pulls from the legislative corner that goes to those wanting it on a weekly basis, that type of thing, too. So it keeps you involved, keeps everybody on the same page, everybody with access to the same information. So it's not a privilege for those agencies with more resources who can devote time to legislative issues. E-work groups. E-work groups is where most of the work is conducted within ePolicy Works Healthcare and our other areas. It is literally a tasked site in which you can say, here are the various tasks that you have to work on, here are the deadlines that you have, here are the documents that we need for you to add your comments to and respond, etc. In this amount of time, you can have discussions. It has a lot of the features of those other areas within ePolicy Works, but is much more defined and is meant for those groups who are doing work in specific issue areas. And it has, again, it has its own separate calendar for that particular work group. Lots of very tailored features. All right. For a sample, e-work groups within ePolicy Works Healthcare right now include the Community Living Initiative, which is run out of the Office of Disability at the Department of Health and Human Services, but it includes a lot of other agencies within HHS and other federal agencies as well, including the Department of Labor. And I'll get to that in a little more detail. Black Lung grantees out of HRSA, other agencies, again, including the Department of Labor, are very much involved in that. We sponsored a healthcare sector summit for hiring people with disabilities. What we've done is then put the results of that summit in ePolicy Works, and the work group that's working on the white paper for that summit then takes advantage of that information, shares information, adds new information, etc., and they, through the ePolicy Works e-work group, then develop the white paper. Also, the National Center on Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder out of the Department of Veterans Affairs pilot project and HOHS. This is just an example, but we can add, you know, your group right now that you were just talking about, if we wanted to add that, we can do it relatively simply. It's only a matter of the number of licenses. And so if you have a group of 40 to 50 physicians and policymakers at the federal level and state representatives who you want to be involved in that work group, we can add them today, assuming we have the number of licenses, and then you set the schedule that you want, and they work in it after maybe 45 minutes of training, they're ready to go. All right. Community Living Initiative, again, is HHS created in 2009 with very defined goals and very defined steps in order to achieve those goals by a certain time period, which is really the perfect type of group to be involved in ePolicyWorks Healthcare. They have five work groups, and each of these work groups has their own e-work group, and some of these work groups, the larger work groups, can have sub-e-work groups, et cetera, so that you can move all of the information and you can move the comments as quickly as possible. Right now, the five work groups are limited to feds only. Again, staff, for about 125, so it's not a small group, staff from Health and Human Services and the other federal agencies. In addition to that, we have about 65 NGOs that can be added to this work group at any time. So if they get to the point where they feel comfortable that they want to share it with those NGOs at the national level to get their perspective, to get their feedback, that can be done almost instantaneously. And so you have a much larger venue as soon as you want. If you don't want that, if you want to limit an e-work group to only feds or to only staff from HHS, it gives you the ability to do that as well. Benefits of using ePolicyWorks. The challenges in terms of just being in a federal agency or a state agency or a local healthcare center are amazing. I mean, just to find the files that you need, to make sure that you're all working on the same document, you know, to make sure, again, with versioning control, that you haven't edited the same document three different times. It provides great solutions for just that alone. And in my mind, it probably is worth the money that is paid to keep it up and running. And real quickly on this too, the Department of Labor pays for this. We provide the service for the feds for free. We provide the service for the NGOs for free because it helps us do our job. And you think about healthcare, Department of Labor, you know, it's a huge connection because, again, if you take that card away, that healthcare card from people with disabilities, they're not going to be able to get a job and maintain a job. And so it's in our best interest to basically keep them in our backyard. You want your kids playing in your backyard? These are our kids. And so if we can, in essence, get access to them and have them do a little bit of what we want them to do, then it makes great sense for us to do it. And so that way, we provide the service for free. Enhanced communication, again, if you want access to your other federal partners, if you're a policy staff person at the Health and Human Services and you want access to those 124 other feds, you have instant access. If you want the access to the 65 NGOs, you've got that venue right away. And again, productivity, you can't beat it. I mean, just look at your computer, look at your BlackBerry. All those things were relatively new at one time. And people, when they first became aware of BlackBerries, I remember my boss used to send me these notes, and it was like getting a note from a monkey because she didn't know how to use the BlackBerry, and you couldn't understand what it was. Now everyone's adept at it. Oh, okay. I thought she was giving me the peace sign, but that's 2 minutes. Again, deadlines, staying informed, everyone needs to be on the same page. If you give access to the same information to all the policymakers, whether they're feds or non-feds, et cetera, then everybody's at the same level and can work more cooperatively, and no one feels like information's being kept from them. And again, the timely feedback, quickly, we've been involved in conducting a lot of national dialogues lately. So for instance, we're working with the Department of Transportation, and we wanted to put together a dialogue and coordinate transportation for people with disabilities related to employment. And for a very little bit amount of money, we were able to get 3,000 participants, 2,080 distinct comments, 200 and some distinct ideas, and then we converted that into policy that's now included in the reauthorization of the Surface Transportation Act, all in a very short time period for a fraction of the amount of money it would have cost to hold separate conferences and listening sessions. There are challenges, however. Concern about adopting new technology. This is, you know, the training, the login, edit. What it all really means is one thing, which are people are hesitant to jump into that pool. Because if you're not involved in it in a very great way, or you're getting all of these other conflicting calls for your time and your resources for meetings, for phone calls, and the traditional way of doing things, you're not going to be able to really succeed with any ePolicyWorks, and we're not going to be able to have you as involved as we need to have you involved in order for us to do what we need to do. again, same thing, resistance to changing business practice, unclear and what the value is for these. The solution to this is to jump into the pool together. We have to hold hands and jump into the pool, just like we did with email. For those old enough to remember, because I'm old enough, when email first was something that was beginning to be of use, you had to ask people, do you have an email account? And they said, well, I have to go to my library and sign up and all sorts of stuff. Now you never think about that. I mean, you get asked for your email far more often than you get asked for your telephone number, for instance. We will get there. 5 years from now, everyone's going to be working in these collaborative workspaces. There's no way around it. We're sort of a half a step ahead right now. But to get people to jump into that pool is the challenge that we're faced with right now. Last slide. So next steps for us are again, modernizing business practices, making it easier for people to jump into that pool, engaging even more federal partners on even more issues. Because if you have access to ePolicyWorks, then you have access to ePolicyWorks Healthcare, ePolicyWorks Transportation, ePolicyWorks Technology, the whole gamut of policy areas. And then also for expanding ePolicyWorks to other topic areas, and this is hard for me because I'm a policy person and I think I should like wear a robe, you know, because I'm pure. But the more we get into this, the more people want to use it for just purely program and workload issues. And so if I, from the team that I run, we now are starting to use it for our workload issues to make sure, you know, all of our reports are in, all of our GIPR goals, all of this stuff that we have to provide to our personnel, people, and others. So if the more you get involved in all those little areas, the more they're going to get involved in the policy areas as well. Enhanced public website and participation. We do also see that there's we want to go a little closer to the 310 million than just those 200 or 300. And so we're providing a link or one small part of the site that's not password protected, just when we put together that piece of information. So when the CLI group gets together whatever piece of policy that they want to promote, they then host it to this public site and get some more public information. So if I'm not a member of ePolicyWorks Healthcare, I don't have a license, I still have an opportunity to provide my comments. It's just a little further down the road than they would like, I would imagine. And the last thing is, again, dialogue features. In addition to the national dialogues, there's a new feature that we're incorporating in which if you want to access employers, you want to access local health care centers, you want to access state health agencies, et cetera, you can then ask a series of three or four really quick questions based upon a prearranged dissemination set. You can then get that information out to those policymakers and get response very quickly within 2 or 3 days. And so again, if we have a particular question related to employment and people with disabilities, we're trying to access employers, we'll get the information back from the stakeholder groups. Thank you.